This year is brought to you by Eshel Publications. Eshel Publications is a non-profit organization dedicated to spreading the Torah, Shiurim, and Sefarim of Rabbi Aaron Lapiansky. For sponsorships or more information, visit eshelpublications.com.
Okay, we're back to the big computer again. So I hope the quality stays okay, not so bad. Okay, we were in middle of Perek Gimel over here. I just wanted to add a piece to yesterday's, to last week's share, last time's share. We had over here the inyan of Hashchas Zera, and his point where he says, "Kidovashu ba'irach misha mesiach Hashem isbarach." Anything that's straight is mesiach Hashem isbarach. Vehefech ze kol dovashu noitim in a mishor ukoach chitzon. Anything that goes off the mishor is a koach chitzon. I wanted to compare it to another halacha. It's interesting how the halachic realities sort of match up with some of the teichin shabai. In the sugi Yevamos speaks a lot about simonim for someone who is a soris and can't possibly. And can't have children. So one of the core, what's the right word for it? One of the core simanim is yorek achetz. In other words, if the stream is forceful and focused, as opposed to splattering, you find a halacha, for instance, that if a person it lets it splatter on the side, we just saw before, it's going to be motzi laz to the children. That the mamzerim because he's a kara shavcha. So the sense of what Chazal understood physically is very important. Is the concept of it coming in a very focused stream, and going forward in a very 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 focused direction, as opposed to something splattering all over the place. Just sort of a hashlama to the point that he talks about. Having it spread out all over and so on. The same is true in the sense of loyalty. If you try to picture a person who takes his kohos of bonding as expressed by his physical bonding, if a person does it all over. If a person is loyal, intensely loyal to a partner, so does that all of that force becomes a very strong bond. A person who runs after every taiva that happens to cross his way doesn't really. There's no koach in that. It's very very. Single time event type of relationship. This actually happens to be one of the when I speak to boys about the chshivas of kedusha, more modern kids. One of the things I talk about is that when you reserve the person who reserves his intimate secrets. Let's talk about that. A person who has certain things that he holds close to his heart, and only his very closest friend is let into that circle, that's a very, very powerful circle. A person who's all over the place and it shares it with everyone, it dilutes the quality of its ability to bond. This it's true about emotional in things, and it's true about physical things. If a person reserves his physical life, his physical bonding with one person, it's very, very powerful and very meaningful. If a person, whenever he's in the mood, he just satisfies himself, then it's not so meaningful. It's almost by definition, the quality of what it means is really divided by the amount of people. The more people, the less meaningful it is, and so on. So when a person chooses to to be kaddish, meaning that everything is focused on one person, one direction, and so on, it becomes very powerful. If not, you can never have that level of bonding. I also find this, by the way, to be the to my mind, the only argument that I can use. You know, people will ask me, not from people at a wedding, a woman came over to me and said, you know, why is it that you don't give a hand to a woman, you won't touch a woman, and so on and so forth. So we start about Kedusha and a hero and this and that, it doesn't fly terribly well. And the more you talk, the less good it is. But what I tell them usually is, you know, physical bonding is physical interaction is an extremely powerful tool. We reserve it for our spouses, and it makes our common life all that more meaningful when that's, you know, that's, we share it with, and that's it. People buy into that. That's a message people can get, actually. Okay, now we're holding the next piece. Oicham Oma. Hamak shatzme ledas, kufyutes. Hamak shatzme ledas ye benidui. Vilema also the megari yitzhar benafshe. Why don't you say it's also because a person's actually, what he's doing is, he's encouraging his yitzhara by it. Rav Ami Oma nikru muma. Shekach umnosa sheitzara. Ayoim omla sekach, lomochim lechavoda zara, vahola for oveid. So, ikidamri, omevami kolamei viatan de hiru, e machnises mechitzosha konsparhu. Siv hocha vayere ben Hashem, siv hosim loikil chofitz reshata, le guchara. Pirish. Kivn shu mevi tal atzmoi, harehu kula yitzara. Shilohoyish shalut vayetzara, vulohevel of yitzara batzmoi. Okay, let's discuss the point that he's making here. A person has two types of confrontations with taiva. One is, let's say a person saw something inadvertently that aroused his taiva. So the person has a very, very powerful taiva, and it's not easy to deal with it. The cards are stacked against him. He has a very powerful physical urge that takes a lot more than normal willpower to overcome it. We can't even say that the person is deciding good or bad. Basically, the person is struggling with a very powerful physical force. Case two. A person is sitting and he's bored. And he says, you know, I really would like to enjoy myself. I've got a great idea. Let's buy something that's not the good. Let's look, and I'll look at it. And I'll be very, very, I'll be mightily pleased. There's a world of difference between these two people. The first one, it's a sign, it's not that his tzar hatov is corrupt in any way, it's just that it's either he has a very strong taiva, or his tzar hatov is not strong enough to overcome it, but the person is a basically good person, he's an erlich person, he wants good and so on and so forth. It's just a question of him being able to adjust, to be able to overcome his taiva. But the second case is a person who has real bechira. He doesn't have a physical taiva. It's a decision-making process as to what do I wish to pursue. That's a very, very strong issue in the sense that the person says, he's making a statement while in full cognizance of his self. He's making a statement that I'm out to look for an enjoyment that's usher, and that becomes a real problem. So the problem of someone who decides willfully to engage in isser is much, much worse. So a person who's megares yitzhara, that makes him worse. There's a famous, I think Sforno says it, and others, and the Balmusa say it. It says by the Asafsuf, it says ve'asafsof his avu ta'ava. They wanted a ta'ava. So the normal, the pshat in pshuto shel mikra is the double lashon is just an emphasis. That's all it is. It's, you know, in lashon kodesh, it's common. Vayach yotze. It's an emphasis on some act. It doesn't really mean all that much. But the Sforno, I think, and others teach very appropriately, they did not have a taiva of anything. They were eating man, so there was no taiva. But they wanted to have a taiva to fulfill. They did not like just not being hungry. I remember when I was many years ago, like in 1980s, so I was in the hospital, and I'd had hepatitis, pneumonia, pleuritis, so there's a bunch of things, and so I was there for a week. And I remember the feeling, I hadn't eaten in a week, and I was on the IV. I was not hungry, but I missed eating terribly. The hanav of crunching, sipping, dipping, all those physical hanavs were absent from my life. And it was difficult to really to miss those hanos. That's really what his avotaiva means. Where the person as a rational being makes a decision to pursue a taiva, not out of taiva, but while he's a rational person. Now the second point he says is, by the way, my Rebbe Reb Chaim Sholevitz used to have a shmuz that went as follows. It says by Yosef Atzadik, it says Beschar Hayom Ro Vayanos, Beschar of Yosef Vayanos Achutza Hayom Ro Vayanos. So Reb Chaim asked, well, isn't Yosef Atzadik's running out a sort of copping out, a statement that he's not really, a statement that he's not shayach to doing right? Isn't that what it is? I mean, he ran away from the Nisayon. He did not overcome the Nisayon. So Reb Chaim would say, certain Nisayonos like Arayas, once you're into the Nisayon, you don't stand all that much chance. The avoda, the Nisayon, is to get out of the situation before you're in it. Because once you're in it, you're not going to make it. So the avoda of Arayas lies not to allow yourself into a situation that's going to be difficult.
Just a question on Yosef. It says in the pasuk, he says he went last, so it's malachta, right?
And
one man, the Amma, says, so isn't he being magari his yetzer on himself?
It might have been. It might have been an example, but at the end of the day, he was able to get out in time. Whatever was the act of Vayonas, and the fact that he understood all the consequences that would include, obviously is very significant over there. But, I mean, however you slice it, according to Mandioma that says Las is Malachto, Avera, obviously he was doing something wrong. You know, no matter how you'll explain it, whatever language you use, there was something being done that was a problem. Okay, then he says the next thing is, we know that the Yetzirah, his job is, our job is to be merachikim from the Adam. It says that Lazlova Kadosh Baruch Hu will push away the Yetzirah Eretz Tzia, ki Yetzirah bevaday miruchek b'nei Adam. Because Yetzirah is something which needs to be apart from people. Ve'eichle miruchek b'nei Adam shumashas mekalk b'nei Adam. How could he not be apart from people, being that he is so mashkas people. So Yetzirah is something that's set away from people because he's mekalkel people. So the person has is benidui because being marchik the ra is the core of nidui. So first thing, so we have here a certain explanation or a certain sense of what the aver of nidui cherem is. It's the rest of society disassociating themselves from that which is bad. It's a certain statement, certain big statement about what's Torah and what's Ra and so on. That's one piece of the puzzle. And therefore, a person who demonstrated, so a person that falls through Nisoyan is not Ra, and therefore he need not to be meruchik from the tzibur. A person who's lacking in strength or was too weak doesn't require himself to be removed from the tzibur. A person who's ra, that's like we explained before, that ra is a motivated to him, that person needs richuk. That's that, you know, he's be'etzim ra. So he says, okay, so that's why that's mandama that says it's needed. Well, mandama should nikro mumar, ki a mumar who should dovet ba vodezara. Ben nechshava yitzahara ba atzma vodezara, which is by ben a sivis gabus al yitzroy. Lefikach, oma should nikro mumar zeshem gaitzor legam ibatzmoy, the soif who should maybe salius dovet legam vodezara, rachna de provisha. Let's talk about this also. Okay, let's talk about this piece over here. The what does it mean? Is Dovak Gamim Vodazara? And it's always bothersome, this transition between Avodazara and Arayas. You do find a lot of transitioning in terms of it's a suro and it says Hashem Zaynim. I want to understand this piece a little bit better. So I would like to offer the following nekuda. Let's think through the following scenario. Somebody right now is offering me to go to Hawaii. It's cold, there's still some snow on the ground, it's not pleasant, and if I were in Hawaii now, I'd be laying in a very warm beach, and I know, sipping pineapple juice, and it would be really nice, and I wouldn't be working, I'd be laying on the beach, so, especially if I'm given that choice now, with a vivid sense of it, I have a choice of going to the beach now at the Beis Medrash. We understand extremely well the pulling, the drawing power of the physical pleasure that's awaiting for me at the beach in Hawaii. Let's say I made the decision not to go. And that's a half year later. And I'm looking back. People, let's say for whatever reason I didn't go. I don't know, I messed up, someone didn't let me go, couldn't afford it, whatever it was, some exterior reason. I will feel, quote unquote, bad that I missed out on it. Let's say we have a choice of going eating at a fancy restaurant, a very fancy restaurant, and right now I'm hungry, so I'm sort of painting a picture of the steak or whatever it is that's being offered over there versus myself now that ordered my choice to the falafel instead. So my koh hataiva prefers this steak or that expensive place. But fast forward a half year later, people will say, shucks, I wished I had done that. It would have been fantastic, I wish I had done that. question is, right now, this is no longer an issue. Right now, this is not something that's up for grabs in any way. So what is it that makes it feel bad that I missed out? And we do. A person goes through life and wasn't able to afford many tithes, or circumstances didn't allow for it. And the person makes a remark like, "Boy, I'm so upset. I wish I could have done all these things." But no matter what, right now you'd be dying no matter what. Right now you're in pain. So what's that hagosha the person has? So I think we need to understand another dimension. I want to see myself in mitzad the koyach of what I think is chashuv. I would like to see myself as a man who attained those things that are chashuv. This feeds into a gaiva aspect of what I think is important, significant, and so on. Just like a person who boasts to others about his many affairs with different women. So when he's having the affair, we can accuse Taiva of being it, of being the goat. But the walking around and discussing with everybody all the details and sort of boasting, that's coming from a very, very different place. There's nothing to do with Koh HaTaiva. That has to do with, let's call it Gaiva, which really is something that is an issue of understanding what's right, what's good, what's chashuv, what's praiseworthy, all of those type of things. Now, that's the knach. When a person is a bal taiva, where he goes and looks for taiva, he's not in the thrall of taiva now. So now the person says, the life worth living is a life where you get the pleasures you want to get. Where you're able to be, it's feeding a whole different part itself. I was able to get all of the pleasures that I wanted to get in life. I once had I have a cousin who is, I guess, technically a first cousin of mine, totally not from. His wife is, she's a reformed Yoris, no shaykes to anything whatsoever. His older person is probably a good dozen boys older than me. And I met him recently at his father's funeral, and he was talking incessantly about what kind of wonderful retirement he has. He's living the American dream. And talking about endlessly. And there was another first cousin there who was from, and we both had the same feeling. You know, if he'd really be enjoying himself, you know, he doesn't need me to pat him on his back and tell him, yes, the surfing that you're doing is fantastic, and the beaches are really great. I mean, he enjoys it. Nobody walks around telling other people how much he likes chocolate ice cream. There's no, Taiva doesn't get anything out of it. But this person is coming from something else. He needs to feel very, very successful. And he needs to feel that he made it. And all of these wonderful pleasures that he's engaged in are sort of a marker for himself that he's successful. And it's not only he's enjoying himself, but by all counts, he's attained that which is the American dream, which is obviously the most crucial thing a person can attain, alei adamos. But this, so what becomes distorted is not only that the person is doing things that are not right, but his perspective of what is the good and what is the right, it becomes distorted. And that's the knach of being over the bazaar. That he's found a different God, and it's feeding his sense of the good, the great, the noble, etc. And he says, so the person is called a mummer in that sense, because he's going to, he's making himself, putting himself in a different world of what's considered chashev and what's not. And in that sense, also we say ein machnisas v'chitzas l'Kadosh Baruch Hu, because basically he is in that. He's not. That's not his mechitza anymore. He's not within the mechitza of Kadosh Baruch Hu, in the mechitza of a very different world. So it's all these inyanim at chilos avodah zarah, but so far in a certain sense it chilos sotayva, but certainly it's hemshich. Is avodah zarah, and that's what he's saying over here. But davar zemevuah ke'ena davar shurav mitzosek v'zeshu megari yitzar ba'atzmo hu kulei ra kashemeve yitzar shura al atzmo umishu kulei ra umisulok v'nidol Hashem yisbarach shatov amiti ve'ein leharach b'zeh. I want to, I guess, was sort of getting into Purim time. I think we can understand it also. It helps us understand a bit about the nature of Amalek and the Ra. Whenever a person is bad to someone else, it's not good. You know, Benon Chavero from a slight insult to Ritzicha is terrible. But there's a tremendous difference in the Bein Adam L'Chaveiro issues, whether they come because of personal taiva. So the reason why I'm not feeding this honey is because if I give him the money, I'm not going to have the money. So yes, he might be able to eat for a week, but I'm not going to have the new iPad. And so it's I'm going to be missing it. So there is Ra in the sense of taiva and so on. But let's say a person, for whatever reason, it usually starts with this, but it turns into a shita and a deya that, you know, that's life. You can't make it on your own. Your existence is just not justified. I take, which is in a sense, it was this was refined by the Nazi perspective, that the tough and the mighty are by definition the good and the great, and they are synonymous with living. They are synonymous with this is the admirable way to live and to function and so on. Therefore, the real issue of doing Averis Bedafka is because it begins to feed off the tov of the person, the ruach of the person, instead of the chomer. So when a person kills because he wants to rob somebody else for $100, he's a murderer. But there's still a piece that could be salvaged. If a person is mizana because he wants to be mizana, he wants to be mizana because he's about taiva, that's taiva. By Esav it says that tzad noshim mitachas ba'aleisem u'ma'ana oisam. He would look to trick, capture women from their husbands. The just like when you hunt Zayed, there's the sport element in it. Nobody needs the foxes that they hunt. The British royal family doesn't need the fox that they hunted, but they simply hunt as a sport. It becomes me being stronger than someone else to the point that I can do anything I want at his expense is a becomes the hefech of belief in a Kadosh Baruch Hu, which is very similar to the Nazi philosophy that strong is the good, and in a certain sense they accused Kalei Sol, the Torah, and Christianity of of a certain blasphemy by saying that the meek and the humble and the kind and the restrained are the good in the Bria. They're perverting the Bria. That's not true. When you look at a lion pack, it's the tough, strong, most ruthless male that everyone's attracted to, and everyone herds around him. And the lion, who's kind of gentle and thoughtful and the pacifist, doesn't get much of a great audience. So might makes right, and strength is really power, and that's the way things should be run. That's a perspective. Yedeas rabbe miskaven limrod bo means it's not because I can't help myself. It's not because my taiva got the better of my seichel or das. It's because my das changed, and instead of being proud of a stable and loyal family life, I'm now proud of quote unquote conquests and whole different way of looking at things. That's where the element of Avodah Zarah comes in. And that's why that's an akuda of Rav HaMalek. Isn't what they did that was bad, but where it was coming from. Ashakar HaBedarach means there was absolutely no reason whatsoever for Amalek to engage in any battle with Israel. They weren't threatening the land, they weren't attacking them, there was nothing. They didn't even want the money of Kal Yisrael. It wasn't as if they were robbers coming to rob Kal Yisrael. Okay, you know, that would also fall under some rubric of taiva. But here it was, they wanted to disprove Israel's claim that being an Am Hashem is what's good. They wanted to show that the people who can take God head on and give him a good run for his money are the people that are praiseworthy. This is nobility, this is courage, this is might, this is strength, this is every midah, ma'ila midah toiva that you have. It's one of those things that I guess it's a little tough. So this is Betzim, in a certain sense, touches on Purim and so on. But I want to add, there's a tough problem we face when someone presents us with a mixed picture. For instance, do we admire Israeli soldiers, the army? There are a lot of stories. There's a huge literature of glory stories about brave and courageous men in battle. It was obviously totally out of our rubric of what's readable. We didn't let the kids read that. There were many Dati Lumi people, especially, that read these things, and they felt it was good. Well, first of all, these people are doing great things. I mean, they're sacrificing and they're saving us and so on. And it's good to have these wonderful stories and encourage the kids and so on. The problem is, life is complex, and you can have somebody who's a very brave soldier, but a lot of it comes from a desire to make his mark on history. What keeps the really, really great officers going is the vast majority of the time middles that we would consider to be not good. The desire for acclaim, the desire for strength, the sense of being on top of everyone, the sense of mastery. These are all things that come in. So, yes, the person fought in a battle bravely, a lot of against heavy odds, and we owe a karsat over that piece. But I don't want my child emulating him, because the person's a mixed bag of stuff. And and a lot of that bravery is due to bravado.
Rosh Hashiva. What? Isn't it the same thing? It's to have an object as a hero, a Gibor of any sort. Isn't it really the same thing to be a Rosh Hashiva, to be a Mashgiach? A person wants to have his way of expressing himself as much as possible against difficulties. What exactly is the difference here?
Well, when you're talking about when we're talking about finer points, obviously nobody's perfect. So when a person is, let's say, Rosh Hashiva, Rav, whatever it is, and he has many good desires, and he also has some sense of it makes you feel good and so on, but it's not coming with my gut feeling would be that some of the soldiers are like that, but the army itself, in its training of the soldiers, harps on that a lot. You get this sense of covering yourself in glory. It's not the pshat that the army's approach is midas tovus, but listen, everybody's got their own little issues. It's sort of that's part of the lore, as opposed to in yeshiva. Officially, the line that everyone's taught is you're only there to teach lashma, and it's not about you, and it's about the others. We're human beings, and we're fragile, frail, and we don't stick that line. But I don't think that there's a projection of that. In the army, there's a very powerful.
Isn't Kina Sofim Tarbe Chochma and Reticha Daraisa, Ritcha Daraisa, and the Binyan Mesilas Yesharim, that seems like it's focused on me and how I can achieve the most for me? What's the difference?
So so first of all, even that, the me means the accomplishment I can do is to think, to understand, to know. In the army, the message is it's not the helping of the other people, sacrificing other people. It's the fearlessness. It's the showing somebody that you won't take anything from them, and you know, the message itself includes the ra as well as the tov, and that's problematic. In the message itself over here, when I tell somebody the most chashuv person in the world is the person who's most ruchni and the person who has the biggest yad in Torah, so I said a truth. Now this kid or this myself might distorted to some degree, because as I adapted to my thinking process and to my realities, I'm going to adapt somewhat. But it's not, the message is fine. The in a place like the army, for instance, where the not so subtle message is the glory and the sort of showing that you don't care. It's not, that's where you really see it. They don't have a check for that. Meaning, everybody gives lip service that bets themselves you're doing lishma. So people are honest with themselves in varying degrees, and that's life. But in the army, there's no pretense that that's important. It's the glory battle. That's all the books I've ever read. Is yes, there's every so often you'll get sort of a nice story about how the soldiers did nice and that. But the flavor of the stories is all about not even the cover. It's sort of being the big man, the macho projection, and that fuels it, and that's a real issue. If someone proves himself in war because he's just proving his bravery and how he's fearless under fire and how he overpowers enemies, I'm not sure if that message should at all be given to children, to my children. The message of yeshiva is a positive message, but people pick up on the fact that in reality nobody ever matches up to it. Okay, next week, so Thursday's Tainus Esther. I can't do between one. I can't do this time Tainus Esther because of there's mincha around this time sometime. I think 1:30 maybe is mincha, 1:35. What's good for the island?
Can you want to move it to Wednesday night? Shlomo, how's that for you?
I hope it's good. Sounds good.
So Wednesday would be the same time on Wednesday?
Same time Wednesday.
Yeah, 8:30.
Okay.
Israel time.
Yeah, so...
Yeah, 1:30 US time.
Yeah, the same. So Bezos Hashem will move that. And, yeah. And you're also in Eretz Yisrael, Shaul Gold?
Shlomo?
Shlomo, yeah.
Yes, I'm a neighbor of Repeat.
Your neighbor, okay. Let's say this. So that's how that time works well.
All right.
Okay.
Okay, good Shabbos.
Yeah, good Shabbos. Bye.